Welcome, everybody, to issue 138 of Heroes Asylum. And again, I didn't check, so we'll go with that. I believe it's 138. You'd say it's 138.
So, I'd say it's 138, so it's 138.
Perfect. We'll go with 138. I like that plan. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So welcome once again. This is our part two, a little issue on the backside. So we're trying it again.
Give us a break, man. A little cobwebs, yeah. Just shaking out the cobwebs. Come on.
So, like I said earlier, last week we did take last weekend off. It was Jeff's birthday. We wanted to let him get out and, you know, paint the town red and not have to worry about, you know, showing up here and being hungover like shit. We are sometimes.
Trust me. It was bad last Sunday. I would have never made it. I woke up at 5. So, yeah.
Nice. So, but yeah, we had fun. We got to hang out with some folks, got to meet some people, some listeners of ours. So it was kind of fun to do that. It was a couple of friends of Jeff's. So it was great to see that. So I guess we can start, you know, like I said, we skipped last week. So we can start and just kind of talk about Mando. We let that kind of build up. And if anybody knows us from the past, knows our rule is three episodes of a show, lets us know whether we're going to hang in there now. Used to be 5. We made an addendum to the Heroes Asylum rule book, and it's now 3. So 3 in Mando, not Mando, sorry, Book of Boba. What do you think, man?
Love it. Just don't like the direction so far of the Boba Fett character. He doesn't look like the Boba Fett that I met at the end of the Mandalorian series. Not quite the badass. I understand. Maybe they're trying to make him his sort of different type of gangster leader instead of ruling through fear, through respect. That's cool. It's just my only quibble is that he's just not quite the badass yet. Asterisk, yet. Maybe we'll see the next 5 episodes, but so far I haven't seen that. I see more him being reactionary, getting his ass kicked by a couple of the mayor's guards and, you know, the Wookiee this week too. But I get it. He was naked when he fought the Wookiee when he got out of the tank. That's fine.
But yeah. So, see how you are fighting a Wookiee. And I think that's the closest Star Wars sex scene I think we've ever had, because there was definitely some tension during that scene, man. Like leg twitching at the end. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen a lot of people online, and I know you and I have talked about this, that, you know, yeah, it's Boba, but when you look at Boba's history, there's not much to Boba's history to think of him as a badass. You know, for him to get into the Sarlacc pit, he got his ass kicked by a blind man. All right. Yes, it might have been dumb luck, but a world-renowned or universe-renowned bounty hunter should be able to handle stuff like that. And everything before that, I never saw Boba as a badass. There was mystique about him. So, yeah, there was that, ooh, he could be this. But what we saw of Boba wasn't badass at all. In fact, when you look at Clone Wars and early Boba, and then I think it was in Rebels as well, when he was teaming up with a couple of the other bounty hunters and they were showing him the way. Even then, he was kind of a bitchy little whining thing. I mean, like, to me, everything I know of Boba in the past isn't there. Now, if you're looking at Legends, that's Legends. Legends is a whole nother universe. We have to, you know, have to remove ourselves from that. And I'm a Legends fan. I'm still reading Legends, actually. I mean, I've been, you know, reading some of the Legends, because they're actually the book series for Star Wars. They're actually re-releasing Essential Legends, which is kind of cool. You know, obviously the first one is the first Zahn trilogy. They're doing Shatterpoint. They're doing Rogue One or the Rogue Squadron. So they're re-releasing like the really like important books. I think they're even re-releasing the Kenobi book, which is kind of interesting.
That's coincides with the Kenobi series coming out.
It does, but again, it's a Legends story that doesn't count. But that's kind of, they're going to do that, because I was looking through the book listing, and I was like, oh, because they're coming out with newer covers, and I was like, oh, that one's pretty cool. They even redid the Darth Plagueis book as well. So I thought that was kind of cool that they're doing that. But yeah, if you delve into the Legends, yeah, that's where we see the Boba that we think we know. But again, this isn't that Boba. But I think we'll get there. Like you were saying, that in Mando, he was put into a situation where he had to go against a platoon of stormtroopers. He hasn't had that opportunity yet. You know, he's just been kind of wandering around, wandering around Mossa, was it? It's not Mossa Eisley's.
Moss Enos or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the Moss it is, but
Moss something.
So. And he's walking around, and he's basically, he's Hannibal Smith right now. He's building his team right now. So we're going to see something big come down the pike. No pun intended, because we think it's going to be the pikes.
I think it's certainly got to be the pikes.
Also, I do believe somebody was in talks a little bit ago, and we know how it is with Disney. When they say they're in talks, they've been talking to them for longer than what we know. But Emily Clark. We left Emily Clark at the end of Solo, you know, becoming a member of that mafia family.
Is it Crimson Dawn?
Crimson Dawn. Thank you. Yeah. There's so many different ones.
Yeah. Crimson something, Black Goo.
It was Crimson Dawn. I always get that. And what's the one that reminds me of Cantor Club? I always think it's Culture Club.
Yeah.
The first time I ever heard that, I was like, oh, it's Culture Club.
Ganja Club. No, it's Culture Club. Come on.
But when you look at him, you're like, you do have a Culture Club vibe going on there, buddy.
I was waiting for Boy George to pop out.
So there is kind of rumor that what if she's there and we're actually maybe getting two seasons of Boba, and like she shows up at the end as the head of this supposed syndicate that the twins said something's coming down. We already know the pikes are there. So I think there's something more coming, and I think it's going to be them. That would be awesome to be able to tie everything together. And of course, you know, Boba's history with Han Solo, what better way to not bring in Han, but bring in part of Han's life, and maybe have them saying, you know, him going, oh, okay, I've dealt with you already in the past. I already know who you are, and maybe show a history and maybe fill in those gaps of Solo. You know, when he's between Solo to, you know, A New Hope.
You could do that. I mean, she was a good character in Solo. She was probably one of the better ones that we had.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we do know Morrison's not going away anytime soon, because we've got Obi-Wan coming up. So there's a lot of talk. Does he play Rex, or is he playing any of the Commander Cody, who still has to probably make up for, you know, losing Obi-Wan?
Talk about job security tomorrow, Morrison.
Yeah. He's got it. He's got Boba. He's got Django. He's got every single one of the clones, if they ever want to bring that in.
He literally has his pick, man. Like, oh yeah, this guy's dead, but I can play Rex now. It's just like ultimate job security. Just throw a beard on him or something.
I love the fact there's a couple of ones where he makes comment about his face. It's like, look at the face. Why would you want to cover this up?
I wish he covered the helmet a little bit more, but that's another minor quibble, because he is Mandalorian, or sort of, I guess.
Well, he isn't. His dad was.
His dad was, but he's
so, yeah,
proxy. He's a Mandalorian, so like, I guess. I mean, that the way he explained it in like one of the episodes of the
Mandalorian. Well, he explained the Mando tree that's ingrained in the suit, and it shows that Django was a Mandalorian, where was trained, or because he was a foundling. Mm-hmm. But when you look back at Boba's history that we've seen so far, he had nothing to do with the Mandalorians.
No,
you know, they had nothing to do with it. It was just him. And like I said, the bounty hunter family, foster family, he had during Rebels is all that's there.
Yeah.
So yeah, he himself never went through Mando training or any of that. So, and he adopted that suit and he got it, but his name still ties in that he is a descendant of Django, but in that case, every clone is. So, I mean, that's kind of weird. You know, you can't really, you can't say that every clone's a Mandalorian.
Again, ultimate job security, man. Good for you.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely can't wait to see what they're going to do. I'm enjoying the show so far. I think you and I
hate it. I like it. It's just, you know, minor things. Like, I like, for instance, I love when they show the Rancor monster. That was cool. And I love when they showed the Hutts, when they came over there. Hey man, you know what? We're not really part of this thing. There's something else going down. So that away, I mean, if you thought the Hutts were going to be the main villain, no, they're not. I mean, of course, you know, I didn't really think so. There was that,
yeah,
you get the pikes and all that, but it was cool seeing them. Hey, there's Hutts out there. There's that.
You're liking the familiarity that you see from the rest of the Star Wars universe.
I did.
You're like, oh, I know that. That's what from what you're saying, that's kind of what it's hinting to me, is that you like that familiarity.
Yeah. You don't have to show the whole thing. It just, oh, it's still out there. Okay, cool. Now let's move on to something new. And Danny Trejo as the Rancor Master is awesome.
Well, again, it's Robert Rodriguez. He's going to bring him in for.
I just take a perfect role for Danny. Good for him. Good for you, bro. Machete for life.
All right. And so again, another one debuted this week. We got three episodes from The Peacemaker on HBO Max with John Cena. There's one person I haven't talked to about this, and I need to get his opinion, because he like crapped on like Cena doing this was your former co-host on your wrestling show, Willie.
Shocking.
Oh, Mr. Hotshot. He's an anti-Cena fan, being from a wrestling point of view. You know, he didn't like him. Well, he's always been a Rock fan. So, you know, Cena was the anti-Rock and the master of thugonomics. So he wasn't a fan of Cena. Yeah. So I kind of want to see what his opinion has changed once you see him in that character in just amazing deadpan. On what he does, John doesn't take himself serious, but Peacemaker takes himself so serious, and it's just great to watch.
In every single position he does, especially this past, I don't want to spoil stuff, but there's a part in the episode 3 where the big thing, he has to have that Dove decal on everything. He has to have it. And they're like, oh, we can't do it. We don't have time to stop an engraver. And he takes a magic marker and he's like, I don't want to do it. I can't draw. It looks like a ghost. And it does look like a ghost.
Yeah.
He's so serious about like literally every single thing that when he does go off, like it's so fun. It's just a fun, goofy series. Like Vigilante, they kind of changed the way he was in the Arrowverse because he was more serious in that show, because that show was pretty serious in a way. But here he's still violent, but he's just quirky. And him and like, hey man, my boys, that's my boy Vigilante, I guess. They're going out there throwing fireworks, trying to kill each other in the forest. Dude, that's great. And dude, don't get me started on the music. Don't get me started on the opening damn song.
Not just the opening song. Yeah, the opening song's great. It's a band called Wigwam, but the rest of the soundtrack is like, anybody that's a fan of the 80s music, just it's all over the place. Wait, when one of the very first scenes I loved about it was when you saw him dancing in his tighty whities playing the Choir Boys, and you got to be like, that's a deep cut when it comes to hair metal.
Deep.
And he's singing into a muscle relaxing vibrator as the microphone, and just this whole, he goes through the whole song. That's one thing I'll give them, is like when they saw a song goes on, they let the whole song play through.
Yeah.
and they run the scene over top of this music going on. Yeah, I think that's that one scene where we were finally introduced to Vigilante and Peacemaker's like laying on the bed having this cry moment, which again, something great to see John reaching out to that and doing it, obviously in a sort of a tongue in cheek kind of vibe, but still, it's just such a fun show, and I just don't get why so many DC fans out there, these very staunch Snyderverse fans, are just like crapping on it.
It's strange, man. I love the Snyderverse. You know that. I talk about it ad nauseam times, but even I have to know there's room for other toys to come into the mix, man, and let this toy come in. I love the Snyderverse. I hope it keeps going. I don't think it's going to keep going. I think they're going to erase a lot of it, which I have to come to grips with. You know, Ben Affleck.
But I don't think so. When we look at this show, they don't. They're holding on to them. They're making references to Batman. They're making references to Aquaman. You know, they are hitting these deep cuts, you know, talking about those characters. Like, to me, if DC and Warner Brothers are trying to distance themselves from that, why would they mention that? You know?
I don't know. Maybe Flashpoint or Flashpoint. I keep calling the movie the Flashpoint, Flashpoint. But, you know, when Flash comes out, maybe they change that a little. Maybe there's a different Batman they speak of instead of Affleck. That could be something they're mentioning.
But then, you look at the Wayne logo. Yeah, they show the comic book, Peacemaker's Diary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a Wayne logo on it. And it's the, you know, it's the Snyder Wayne. So I don't know. I just think there's just too. I think that's a rumor. Remember, we're going off of a rumor from a guy that's been like 50% right. So, you know, everybody like latched on to that. But I don't think they're trying to wipe it out. They may be distancing themselves. And, you know, again, you and I had this great heated conversation, a couple weeks ago about it. Yes, having the Holy Trinity is there, but again, they don't handle the Holy Trinity right. They are handling their B's and C characters so much better than they can the Holy Trinity. And I think that Holy Trinity just needs to be that they're holy. Don't touch them. Let them, they've already been there. Let's move on to dig into the world deeper, you know, because there are so many layers. How many times have you and I talked about, we are sick and tired of seeing the same Batman villains.
Oh, you
know, he's got so many amazing villains that we can delve into, but why do we keep returning? Going back to the Joker, going back to Two-Face, going back to the Riddler. These are like the constant over and over again. And yet you and I have always talked about, you know, what amazing it would be to have like a Clayface, you know, mm-hmm. That kind of character. So yeah, I think going forward, then them just focusing on these B's and C characters, I think it's going to breathe more life into it. Then we can maybe dip our toes into going back to the Holy Trinity and see.
Yeah. Like the French characters, they do awesome. In Peacemaker, Legends of Tomorrow is a fringe team at best. I mean, they have Citizen Steel on there. Come on, he's like a D character. White Canary created for that show. He had Captain Cold on there for you. Had all these little Astra, who basically is a version or a Constantine kind of like associate. So they put these little fringe ones together because there's more story they can flush out with them, because nobody knows who they are. It's cool. It's not the big toys. You know, you were playing with the little toys now. And maybe if you want to, I guess, you know, after rethinking, I mean, I don't like this new Holy Trinity coming in, but if you want to keep the old school Holy Trinity, like in the background, like Forbidden, okay, I'm cool with it. There's as long as they're still out there.
They're there. Yeah. That to me, that's why I think that's
fine. Like keep them out there. Like, hey, maybe eventually you might run into them. Although I think Superman and Lois are doing a kick ass job with Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah.
I think that's kind of like almost defeats the purpose and argument, but, I like where they're going with this series, man. It's fun. It's just a fun, goofy, doesn't take itself too seriously. It does have serious moments, by the way. There's a lot of violence, a lot of sex, a lot of profanity. So it's not like it's a goofy, goofy series, but it's just a series that's enjoyable to watch. And I like that. I like watching shows that I can, this is good. I know where this is going. You know, it's like I'm watching three different shows, Superman and Lois now, Peacemaker, Legends of Tomorrow, three different types of shows. I mean, you could say Legends and Peacemaker are sort of similar, but not really, because Peacemaker's on HBO Max. They can get away with a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, you know, it's just difference. And I dig it. I dig it. I hope they keep going forward. Hell, give me a Vigilante series after this, even though it's not the Vigilante that you guys saw in Arrow. It's not him.
Yeah.
It's actually the true Vigilante, Adrian Chase. And he's not a cop. I mean, even though he's still a mercenary, he's still a freaking killer. I mean, he's goofball. He's a murderer. I mean, that one scene in episode 3, if you haven't seen it, I'm not gonna spoil it, but he does some violent stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. So I dig it. I love it. Soundtrack.
And something you had said before is like, yeah, this gave James Gunn the correction to the Suicide Squad that I needed, that I think I needed, that we both needed, because you know, there was a lot of fandom and people screaming about how great the Suicide Squad was, and I'm like, I don't see it, but this, he sort of redeemed himself in this and in picking up that character. And then also we find out that that the Weasel, that everybody, that they know that the Weasel survived, like the post credit scene in the Suicide Squad in Peacemaker, we find out that continued.
Yeah There's some things they brought along, Amanda Waller, you know, spoilers.
Yeah, yeah, uncredited scene. Yeah, that was, I thought that was great.
I thought it was kind of cool when she has like a relationship with one of the characters there, which is kind of cool. So I dig it. Like you said, yes, it is something. I was not a fan of Suicide Squad at all. I mean, I dug it. I dug the characters. That's what I said. The characters were cool, but like the whole story was just wonky.
Yeah. So question, we had a teaser this week. Tomorrow, or when this is probably aired on Monday, the 17th, Moon Knight trailer will drop. We got a teaser the other day, but we are getting a full trailer. January 17th. What are you expecting? What are you looking for? Are you excited? Did you watch the teaser at all?
Yeah, I saw it.
What'd you think?
I think they're going to go. I think we had a discussion of probably a couple episodes ago. Of like,
wait, but we've had this discussion a few times.
Well, actually, we probably had like more than a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what kind of direction would they go with Moon Knight? And it looks like they're going to go that schizophrenic multi-personality thing. It looks like it. Looks like they're going to go with Ganesh, like the god of Egypt lore. Which is, it just looks like in the surface. I'm just judging by the quick little teaser trailer, but it looks like he's going through that. There's certain moments in this trailer you see him playing with the Rubik's Cube. He's looking in the mirror, like, hey man, which I think maybe is like, what personality is in control now? I'm thinking this.
That's what, it almost sounds like what we discussed is what they're doing. That yeah, he will have the multiple personalities, and one of them will be the god.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe he will think that he's the god. And but yeah, I'm loving it. I love the look of, you want to talk about one of those rare comic book accurate costumes. You know, they always talk about, yeah, we really can't get away with something like that, because just
white costume. And they,
it's like, I mean, it's more off-white, but it looks amazing. And
whoever designed that costume, man, it looks really dope.
Mm-hmm.
Not white. It's not the off-white. It's like a different offshoot color, but it's still, it's Moon Knight still. It's still him. Yeah. the eyes. You still have the moon crest in there too. And that one transformation scene you saw where like the bandages were coming over him.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested when they start doing, because Disney always loves doing this. They'll do a kind of behind the scenes, you know, like they do for The Mandalorian and Boba. They do what they call the gallery, where they go behind the scenes of what they do. I'm kind of curious. I want to know how much of that cape is CGI and how much is practical, because there are moments you're looking at it. I mean, it looks clean and beautiful, like a real cape. And I know there is some CGI in it, but, you know, like when we go look at Batman and, you know, DC, that he has no cape.
Yeah.
You know, Batman or Superman, they don't have capes. They just, those are all digital. So I'm kind of curious, because again, I love how it looks and the way they're playing with the cape. That would just lead to, like, you know what, the technology's there to actually do a live Spawn movie again and actually have
make it better.
Like I liked the cape, and because the cape with Spawn is so obnoxiously large. So what they did in the Spawn movie, you know, decades ago was okay. It was just a little shiny. And I think with, you know, technology, they could definitely do that. Yes, you're going to, like I said, you need that obnoxiously long cape that's like wrapped around a building. It just, that's just what Spawn has, you know, it's his logo, or it's his iconic.
That's part of his thing. Like in the ending of that Spawn movie, if you recall, like, yes, the cape was very CG and it looked very fake, but he had that scene where he's holding the cross and the cape is like just flapping in the wind. It's all huge, like you just said. And back then, I thought it was okay. Looks dated. If you see that movie now, man, it looks
great. Oh, yeah. I think I watched it a couple weeks ago.
Very dated. But with, like, the special effects you saw with this, man, they could do a killing with a Spawn. And I heard they're still doing that, too. So
I hear it's still in the works. You know, of course, you know, Todd's got his fingers in everything. So, you know, it just takes time because of how busy he is and how he's got, you know, his fingers in everything.
I really hope it's a streaming series now. Because after everything that streaming has done lately, like, I think Ben Affleck said something recently, and he said any films, like tentpole movies, should be for the movie theater. And he's like, it should be a movie theater experience. And I get what he's saying. He's like, the big movies, like an MCU, like a Shang-Chi, a Batman. Yes, those should be movie releases. I agree. Which kind of hurts the indie films. But then again, you still have your eyes on them with streaming. Streaming is still there. You can build with streaming. And
that's why you have shows or channels, not shows, but channels like the Sundance Channel. You know, you get to see those. Yes, those movies were in theaters, but they were in theaters in big cities, you know, for a week run or 2 week run. And that's it. And us here, you know, in Podong, you know, America, we don't have a chance to go see that. So that's, you know, that's why I love Sundance for it, because you can go and find these great shows. There was one I saw a couple of weeks ago called First Date, you know, and it was just. It was a Sundance run, and it was just this messed up cops and robbers kind of show movie. And I was just like, wow, I never had heard of this. And I thought it was great, but that gave me a chance to do that. But yeah, I agree with what he's saying. You know, make these massive movies, you know, the big ones be the ones for the theaters. But and it's not only going to hurt the movie theaters or the movie makers, the movie theaters are going to hurt because they're only getting the tentpole.
Certain films, like, yeah, I get it. But it's just like, you know, how much, if you're making an indie film, how many theaters can you get that film into? It's like, it's only like, you know, the indie places, like the New York, Chicago, Los Angeles.
Well, every town I think has an indie house, like an indie theater house, you know, where they're gonna, like, we have our Enzian here. All right, I think every town has their version of an Enzian where those kind of movies will play, but it's like one theater, one screen, you know, in one town, you know, around the country. So yeah, a lot of folks aren't going to get their eyes on it. So yeah,
I saw 21 Grams at the Enzian too, like, which is a hard movie to watch. I mean, that's with Sean Penn and a couple of the people. I think a couple of the chicks. Check it out. It's 21 Grams. Very hard movie to watch, but it's that type of, you know, those indie movie experiences that you get to go see. They're word of mouth. Hey, they're going to get their audience. But
yeah,
if you release them in the big tentpole theaters, to me, they're going to get lost, you know? Hey, guess what? The Batman is coming out March 4th or something like that. Oh, by the way, I'm going to release this little indie movie. I wouldn't, man. It's going to get crushed.
Well, that's why I think that's why they alternate those. You know, they'll usually give the big, massive movies, you know, like a week, you know, a week birth. Okay, hey, you know what? Batman came out. I'm going to release my indie movie 2 weeks later. Let the masses go out and do that. And but again, you do have that crowd that doesn't want to go see the big tentpole movies, that they would rather go see that. And that's really what those movies are made for, is for those independent ones. Now, I love did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
No, I didn't. But I heard something about
the opening skit was perfect, talking about like superhero movies. It was a skit of Biden telling people to stop going to see Spider-Man because everybody's catching Corona from going to see Spider-Man. He's like, if you notice on December 17th, our spike a week later went up. Stop going to see Spider-Man. But sir, it's this best movie, blah, blah, blah. Have you seen it yet? No, I can't see it because everybody else has bought tickets. And it was hysterical. But that whole idea of that tentpole, movies is, because it's going to draw everybody out to see it.
It's one of those things, man.
So what'd you think about Leslie Grace's Batgirl costume?
Comic accurate. Debut. I liked it. What's wrong with it? Like
nothing. Nothing. I think it's beautiful. I'm asking you because you're the bat. The bat fiend.
It looked comic accurate. It's basically like she built it herself. It's what it should be. I mean, I remember somebody was showing like a side by side of a cosplay outfit.
And I thought that was the cosplay girl did a lot better. But I
know cosplay did a lot better. We agree. But this is like a film adaptation. This is our version of it. And actually, if you look at the comic, it's exactly alike. I mean, I haven't seen the yellow boots yet. I don't think I saw it in that picture, but it looks like she made that costume herself, which is fine. It looks fine. I had no issue with it whatsoever. I mean, you can compare to the cosplay.
I don't know if there's boots on yellow boots on here. Because the image I'm looking at, it cuts off just below her knees, and you would think they would at least go knee high.
Yeah, they haven't showed the yellow or Doc Martens.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be more gold because she's not so much yellow. Like her symbol and her belt is all gold, and her cape, the inner lining of her cape is more of a gold than a yellow, which I like. And the purple, I don't know. I guess maybe it would have been smarter to go black, but we'll go with that. But again, I mean, nothing against it. I think it looks great. I can't wait to see what they do. I have to be honest, it's a lot better than the Supergirl outfit they chose. Yes, that Supergirl outfit that we're going to see in Flash is a comic book accurate version of another Supergirl. I'm not a fan of that costume at all.
You could have changed it.
I'm just not a big fan. And again, I'm not saying I need to see the mini skirt Supergirl either. There are other variations of it. I'm just not a fan of that weird red coming over the shoulder into the shield. It just looks very weird to me.
Yeah, it's a little odd looking, but this is pretty cool looking. And I guess there are rumors of maybe Nightwing showing up. I don't know.
I heard, and I thought that what better way to have another Teen Wolf alumni come in and jump into the DC world?
Yeah, because you got three of them so far.
Yeah.
So
when I saw that, I was like, I like that idea. I would go with that. And I'm not, I'm a big Nightwing fan, and I love what they've done on Titans. I love that cast, and I love that version of Nightwing. Bring in a different version. We're how long? God, what, the 60s? I think he turned into Nightwing. We're 60 years ago of a Nightwing. Let's see him in more live stuff. Not the Robin, but Robin,
the actual Nightwing character.
I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of people like, oh, I want to see Robin. No, I really don't.
I really don't, man.
The only costume that would work was either going to be Tim Drake's or Damian's. Those are really the only ones because they make tactical sense.
Especially the Damian one. That's kind of dope. Yeah. Cloak and stuff. And Tim.
That's right, folks. You heard it here. He just complimented Damian Wayne.
Yeah, because his costume is cool. Actually, they're releasing. Yeah, I know, right? They're releasing a McFarlane line series of a figure, which is like a newer version of a Damian Wayne. And when I saw it, I was like, ooh. Okay, it comes with a sword, the staff, and he has the little hoodie thing going on, and it's kind of like a red with a black. I'm like, I can get behind that outfit. That looks pretty cool. Don't like the character, but I kind of like the figure. Maybe I'll have to pick that one up because I don't have a Robin figure. That's the only figure I don't have. I have like a couple Nightwings, but no Robin because I just don't like any of the Robins they've released.
Oh, I forgot to mention, kind of off subject a little bit. Not really. I mean, it's about the figures. Did you see that they finally released the Three Faces of the Joker figure line?
And I can't find them anywhere. Thanks.
Oh, my Target, by the way.
Really? When
you get a chance.
All of them?
But just two. Which two one? Of them. The criminal and the clown.
What time is it? Oh, no, I can't.
they'll be closed by the time you get over here. But no, and they had a few of them too. So, and then they also had a Lobo, which I wasn't a big fan of the Lobo. I was like, oh, I really would love to have Lobo, but I'm not a fan of the look. So,
really? It doesn't look good? You don't think
it looks good? It's just not my idea of what, like, if I'm going to get a Lobo thing, I'm going to, there's a certain version of Lobo I want to grab. Then I would just, this one wasn't a,
I'll go check.
But the Joker ones looked really cool. The two I saw. Yeah. They had a few of them there, and I know it was just, I only saw the criminal and the clown. Cause I don't remember what the third one is. So
Criminal, the Clown.
Criminal looked amazing. That's one I was kind of iffy on, but I'm like, no, I don't want to collect any more of those just yet.
Doesn't the Criminal have like the top hat with the long overcoat on?
No, it was more. Remember the Joker in the last Batman movie, the Long Halloween. You remember how he had kind of like this kind of weird curly thing going on the other side of his head?
Oh, did he have the pink suit on?
Not pink. No, they both have purple. One's a little darker purple, but yeah, no, it's they were pretty cool ones.
Okay.
I'll have to check. Just kind of talking about Marvel stuff. You saw that Black Panther is back into production again. Yes. She came back, but something interesting was what happened during the filming is Winston Dukes, who does M'Baku, he actually got a re-signed contract with a little bit of a heftier increase in pay.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that's I was like, that's an interesting thing to happen, especially mid-production, because they've been doing this, and I know there's some issues going on with the actress that's playing Siri. I know that, you know, she's against the vaccination, and you know, of course, being in Hollywood, you have to follow like just the policies of those. And so I know there were some issues there. And then of course she was out for a while for injury. So kind of interested to see what's going to happen. But yeah, that was something you and I talked about, that if she's not going to pick it up, M'Baku would be the best one, because guess what? Somebody has had to have picked it up during the time after the snap.
Yeah.
I mean, he went away. You're telling me there was no Black Panther for 5 years?
Wong became Sorcerer Supreme in that 5 years.
Wong became, yeah. So maybe that's the reason why. There's like, maybe we will see in here what happened during those 5 years. And that is, yes, M'Baku became the Black Panther, which again, that is comic book accurate. And I think I would love to see him as, you know, as that
character. I want to see it too, because I just don't want the Black Panther to go away. That's the thing. Like the thing that I love Kevin Feige, but to me, one of the biggest mistakes I feel that he made was like, hey, Patrick, you know, Boseman's a great performance, but we will not recast the Black Panther, which I thought kind of a mistake, because we haven't had that character fully yet. We had him in Black Panther 1. We had him in Infinity
Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah.
And then you had him in like Infinity War for a little bit and like the ending of Endgame. So we haven't had like another sequel with the Black Panther. There's tons of Black Panther.
And there's a big petition going on, actually promoted by his brother.
Yeah.
But Boseman's brother.
Thank you.
To say, hey, you know, my brother would have wanted this. And like, let's see if the fans can get behind it.
I would. I think Chadwick would want it as well. Like, I don't want that character to die and be like, oh, well, you know, he's going to die with Chadwick. You know, I miss him too, but you know, the show's got to go on, man. Like, we're going to leave one day. Show's going to keep going on. Yeah. Somebody else will take over the mantles. So you just can't bury a character like that, especially with so much history and lore and so many more stories to tell. You just can't close him out right away and just give it to like, you know, his sister. Cause that even took a while to build up in the comics as well. You just want to say, hey, he's dead. Guess what? He's just
freezing. Bam. Yeah. There, here she is. Yeah. Now it's like they bring M'Baku in, and then there becomes that trial. Cause didn't she vanish too?
Yeah. She vanished at one point, and then.
You do have that to where maybe when everybody comes back, you know, something more happens. Again, they have to somehow explain it. And that's their biggest challenge, is the absence of T'Challa. You know, that's going to be their biggest challenge to explain and move forward. If they can do that flawlessly, not even flawlessly, if they can just do it a little bit, I think that will save the story. That's going to be the toughest thing for them, to let everybody and let the fans buy into whatever the new direction is how do they bow out, you know, and say, you know, he's no longer here, you know, T'Challa's gone.
It's iffy, man. There's a lot of ways you can go to. I always thought the multiverse angle would have been cool. Like maybe Doctor Strange, when he's freaking around the multiverses, like he goes into one world and this Black Panther's by himself, his entire tribe is dead, and he comes over almost like the What If thing with the Black Widow.
Kind of, yeah. That's a good idea.
And she's like, hey, you know, this world needs a Black Widow. Maybe he goes into that world and this world, hey, we need a Black Panther. And he comes in there. It's like another different dude playing T'Challa, which I think would be cool too. You can get away with that, especially with multiverses, which is going all the way around, especially Marvel and DC. I think it would be, and you're not killing. I mean, yes, Chadwick is gone, but you're still bringing in Black Panther. It just,
Now, who would have thought the multiverse became such part of our lexicon? I mean, it's something that like we as geeks just always talked about, and everybody would look at us like we were like had a third eye when we talk about it. Now it's being joked about in Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, it's I was like, I had that moment when I watched that Saturday Night Live skit, and he's joking about the multiverse, and I'm like, what multiverse am I in to see this happen? That, you know, the a multiverse for anything would be like that up front. Yes, there's always been a multiverse. You know, DC and Marvel never didn't create the multiverse. There have been others out there and have done it and done it well, but they just wasn't as big because, you know, well, they honestly, DC and Marvel were never that big until it came to the big screen. So, So I got a question for you. I know you love the character. You love the actor. You thought the character was going to go one direction, and I don't know what they're going to do here, but David Ramsey from Arrowverse, he's starting a show called Justice U. And basically he's putting together a youth oriented or youth skewed team. And, you know, there was always that heavy rumor, like extremely heavy, even to the point, I think there was a few episodes where in the last Lois or the Superman and Lois, they make a comment about it, don't they, about the ring or something like that?
Yeah, they if you remember the I think it was what was it?
Oh, no, it was during the I think Infinity.
No, it was one of the crossovers.
Yeah.
John Wesley Shipp came out and he saw David Ramsey. He's like, Diggle? He's like, do I know you? He's like, you look different without the ring. I'm like, you basically said it already.
You said he's Green Lantern. Now he's Green Lantern in that universe. Doesn't mean he has to be here.
No. But then you did the whole thing at the ending of Arrow where like this thing flies down and there's like a glowing green box.
There you go. That's the scene I was talking about. Okay.
Like, and now you're just going to forget about that?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You tease it. Just do it already. Like, I don't get it. So what does that mean? So in the green box, there's a green rock. Maybe it was kryptonite.
Kryptonite. Yeah.
That's just.
So I am kind of interested. I mean, maybe this is the show will be, you know, about this new team getting formed, because I guess they squashed off the, what were they called? The Arrow. What was the Green Arrow team that was getting created? That was all the younger girls.
Oh, it was like a Birds of Prey or something like that.
So maybe they killed off that concept and thought, hey, you know what? We're going to bring in Diggle, him having to deal with this new responsibility of whatever the green thing is. And also putting together a new team. So, well, it'll be interesting.
I mean, he'll kick ass in the role because he's awesome in Arrow, and he always was, especially like they pop him in here and like every night. He directed an episode of Superman and Lois, which was really good. And his character pops in every now and then. So it's good to see him again. I like seeing him. But like the whole team concept, like this Justice U thing, like, I don't know. I guess it depends what characters they put in there, but they're probably fringe characters as well. Characters we've never heard of, or I mean, like I said, depends what they do. Like Legends of Tomorrow, I thought was a weird concept when it came out, turned out to kick ass. So
yeah,
who knows? I can't judge it yet, but I
just
don't
like. I was just curious because there was that big holdout, you know, about him being, you know, Green Arrow or Green Lantern, and then they go that route. I'm like, oh, I
mean,
okay.
Hopefully they discuss it somewhere through. I mean, like, hey, what happened? Like, did you lose the ring or something? It's up to them. We'll see. We will see, sir.
All right. I think that's everything that I reviewed or saw that we might want to talk about. You got anything?
I got one more thing. NBC orders a pilot for probably one of my favorite shows and yours, Quantum Leap. So a pilot has been, I think we talked about it months ago, the rumor. Now they're going to pilot officially. So it's out there. So I'm just wondering, what direction do they go? Do they start anew or do they branch it off from the old series, kind of like keeping the legacy alive? Hey, this is the daughter of Samuel Beckett. I mean, if you wanted to go that way, maybe dad is lost in time instead of like Admiral Calavici was in the original series.
Well, maybe that they do pick that up, because I do know Bakula's contract with NCIS New Orleans ended. That show's been canceled or ran its course. So I know he's not attached to anything. So That was one of the rumors. That's kind of why the rumors was to say they were talking about doing a Quantum Leap show. And then, of course, his contract was over with, you know, NCIS. And so he's there. And what better way that he's been trapped this whole time? Mm-hmm. And now his daughter or relation or just a new doctor, you know, obviously it's going to be a young female protagonist that's going to have to track. And basically she's having to follow up with him. You know, maybe there's moments where she runs into him at the same jump and they have to meet each other, almost a Voyager-esque kind of situation where there's two characters and they both have to figure out, hey, what's wrong with this time? Maybe it's time that we put, you know, two heads are better than one. Hey, let's put two of us together trying to fix this problem, and that'll get you back home quicker.
You know, I mean, there's so many directions they could go, but like I said, I know with Bakula being freed up now, and I don't know of him doing anything else. There was talk of him doing something with Star Trek, bringing back that character because of how Discovery and Picard are kind of doing like these weird little crossover things. So
multiverse.
Okay. Again, DC and Marvel aren't the first ones. Star Trek did it first with Mirrorverse.
Star Trek was the first, guys. They were Mirrorverse. That was their baby. But they're doing that. Another weird one, too, which I thought was kind of odd, and I think I posted in my Facebook page. It was like a long little diatribe I had about it, is they're rebooting Zorro. And I thought for the longest time Zorro was going to be a male character, which, you know, where he was in the time period, the Discovery of California and all that, it made sense for him to be, who's a Don, elegant dude of the time. Like I always said, if they're going to redo it and you're going to make it a female, you should make it more into the future. Like I had an idea, because that's the rumor, it's going to be a female. And I think having the female in that time period, to me, doesn't make any sense. Now, if you go forward, makes total sense. But if you're going to believe it in that time period, that 1765, 1800 period, like women were not in powerful positions. So it wouldn't, to me, make any sense unless you're going to make her a slave girl or something. Hey, a woman fights. I mean, I don't think it would make sense, but I don't know. What say you?
I mean, yeah. Or you can do the route, and I'm going to hurt you on this one. Okay. I'm going to go deep. Uber deep. I don't know if you're familiar. Well, I am. It's probably one of my favorite like comics growing up. He was a comic strip also. Phantom also, you remember the Phantom purple outfit? It was Billy Zane did a movie. Yeah. There was also Phantom 2040, where they took the Phantom concept that he was still this person that was, you know, connected to his world, to the jungle via the ring, but he was now in a more modernized. And they can go that route to say, hey, you know what? The Zorro name and the Zorro, what it stood for, it's always been there. And now it's just, it's their time. Or if they need to, if they want to, they could just basically go right off of the Zorro movies with Antonio, because he had a daughter.
Son.
I thought it was a daughter he had.
No, son.
Son? Oh, okay. Sorry.
I was watching the other night before I went to bed. It's yet a son.
Okay. Okay. I believe you. But yeah, no, they can go that route.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way I could see a female version coming forward. Like if you said it in modern times, like you just said, hey, this is the great, 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 great granddaughter of Diego de la Vega, and she picked the mantle in modern times and makes a suit differently her own way. Yeah, it works. But if you're going to set it in that time period, to me, it just doesn't make any sense, especially with the history of the world going. Then you're just changing history from there.
But again, it's Zorro. You don't have to see. You see a chin. You know, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to know that that's a woman, you know, if she wants to pretend to be a man so she's not, you know, upstating the status quo. But again, that goes against everything, putting a female character or female lead into that role. The only reason I kind of question this is because of who it came from.
Yeah. Like I said,
they're a little iffy, but
yeah,
I mean, if that's the route they want to go again, it's always going to be that they're doing that to every character nowadays. And it's just, to me, I go back to just lazy writing. Just create a new character, create something in Zorro-esque. Don't call it Zorro, create something.
Yeah. Standalone. They deserve more respect than that. You're giving me hand-me-downs. Like, oh, it's hand-me-down. We can't think of anything better, but this has IP recognition. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it a chick.
Like, yeah. That's really what it comes down to. It's just right. IP recognition.
It's just like, okay, this has not notable IP, but as if a guy's a chick, like, come on, they deserve better than that, man.
Yeah.
We got way more characters than that. And then, I mean, we can be here forever, but you know what I
mean. All right, man. So you got anything else?
Let me see. I think it was the only notes I wanted to see. Yeah, that's all I got, buddy.
All right. Perfect. Well, all right, guys, make sure you guys do check out this week on our Midnight Movies. We are going to be doing this week. What's the order of what we're going to be releasing this week? I can't remember which order we're doing. Are we doing the review or the watch along?
We're doing watch along.
Okay, so watch along dropping this week, and we did Point Break.
Yes, Point Break, not the 2015, the OG version, the best one. So,
yeah, make sure you guys check that out. So it's a fun wild ride, Tubular Man.
It's fun stuff.
So make sure you guys do check that out. And then the week after that, for our movie reviews, it will be the 1986 awesome movie, Gleaming the Cube. Or no, 88 or 89. I'm sorry, that was an 89 movie.
Yeah, that was during the Slater songs.
Yeah. All right, guys, so make sure you do check us out at our other podcasts. And guys, in a month from now, guess what? It's going to be our 3-year anniversary. So we might have some changes coming down the pike. So be on the lookout, something fun, something different. And we will see you guys next time. Kane,
yeah, Jeff,
whatever your fucking name is. You live here. I'll figure out your goddamn name.
Check out Facebook page Heroes Asylum and check out the Midnight Movies. And from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. Let's get out of here.